Hare Krishna Mataji to you and all the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam to you too. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for coming, Prabhu. Thank you. There is a brief introduction for Haridas Prabhu. He's a very beautiful speaker, actually. I personally loved his graphics last time of the pot maker story and the 11 senses. It was so easy to understand, Prabhu. So very beautiful. There is a small introduction for Prabhu. His grace, Haridas Varya Prabhu, is a disciple of His Holiness Indradumna Swami Maharaj and an international speaker. He is associated with ISKCON for the last 24 years. He has a deep penchant in rendering lectures from the Vaishnavite Vedic texts. He is a public speaker on various topics of Sanatan Dharma through the lens of the disciplic succession of Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. He has delivered his lectures in English, Hindi, Tamil, and Malayalam across Dubai, Australia, USA, and India. He speaks extensively on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Valmiki Ramayan, and other Gaudiya literatures. He has a graduation degree in electronics and telecommunications and an MBA from Symbiosis. This is a brief introduction of Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Panam once again. Please accept our humble obeisances. Thank you so much for your very valuable time and association. I would like to hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Raj Prabhu, and also Radharani Mataji, for that wonderful welcome. During these times of pandemic, one of the things that we have been missing is welcoming devotees and welcoming and seeing devotees live. I think those times are going away. So more than hearing about whatever nonsense I have achieved in this world, it is more glorious to hear all devotees speaking about each other. And that is something of the topic that we have today. So I'm extremely grateful to Shyama Gaurangi Mataji and also to all others who have given me an opportunity to speak again. This is a very august audience within ISKCON, and it's been going on for a long, long time. So I'm very, very indebted to all the devotees who have enabled me to come here and also to speak about their lordships. And what great topic to speak about other than Srimad Bhagavatam. So with that, we will start with a small Jai Radha Madhav. And after that, with Guru Parampara's Vandana, we will start. Jai Radha Madhav Kunja Bihari Gopi Jan Vallabha Giri Vardhari जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरदारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी हरे कृष्णा Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki Jai. Shri Shri Pancha Tattva ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Avishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadaram Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So, once again, I would like to thank all the participants who have taken out their most precious commodity, which is available within their lives, which is none other than time. Time is the most precious commodity, and you have so many different activities to do within Krishna consciousness itself. But I'm very grateful that you have all given your time to hear to this divine message given to us by Srila Prabhupada through his purports, which are his transcendental ecstasies. And today we are talking about canto number 5, chapter number 13, text number 11. So I have got a small presentation to share with all of you. So what I would do is I will share my screen, and I have the verse there as well, and we will go through that. So let me know when you can see my screen. Can everyone see?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
Okay, let me put it on full screen. So we're talking about Canto 5, Chapter 13. And we are going to talk about text number 11. The chapter is called as Further Talks Between King Raghuna and Jada Bharata. Let's go to the verse for today. Kvachikchasita tatapata varsham prati kriyam kartum anisha ashte kvachin mito vipananya chakinchit vidvesham ruchati uta vitta satyat. Translation. Sometimes the living entity is busy contracting the natural disturbances of freezing cold, scorching heat, strong wind, excessive rainfall, and so forth. When he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. Sometimes he is cheated in business transactions one after another. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We will come to the purport as we go through the lecture. So here, in this chapter, there are further talks which is happening between Jada Bharata and Raghuna. In this particular chapter, Jada Bharata is constantly giving an allegory of a person traveling through the forest and various different problems that one encounters. In a different sense, he is actually indicating to King Raghuna what are the different problems the jivas face in this material world. And in this particular verse, he's going to talk about a very big subtle anartha. It is a very big anartha, the very reason why we are on this material earth, but it is so subtle that to find it out is very, very difficult. And what is that? It is the enmity or enviousness that he is going to talk about. So here in this verse, he is saying, Vidvesham Richati Utavitta Satyat. In this way, by cheating, living entities create enmity among themselves. But before this enmity comes, Jadabharata speaks about certain other disturbances, which are called as the natural disturbances. And here we can see, what are those natural disturbances? Sita Atapa Vata Varsha. That means cold, freezing cold. Like if you go to Siberia or Russia, it's freezing cold. Before you even blink your eye, your eyelids will have ice formed on them. It's that cold. If you take a hot water from the geyser and go outside and throw it up in the atmosphere, it will all become snow by the time the water falls down to the ground. It's that freezing cold. It's very difficult for the human body to adjust to that cold. And because of that freezing cold, generally the human being or the living entity faces some discomfort. Scorching heat. If you go to the deserts of the Sahara, you will find so much heat that people will be parched. They want water. But at the same point in time, in some other part of the world, like the Amazon jungles, there is so much of rain, there are floods, and there's so much of water, they want a little bit of sun. So there is this variegatedness. There are these various different activities which is going on around the world, due to which the living entities are constantly under trouble. Then there are tornado valleys. Of course, you are all from the United States. It's quite famous for strong winds and tornadoes. We all know what damage they can do. We will have greatest of plannings, but these tornadoes and tempests can uproot all our plans, uproot all our establishments within a split second. And like this, there are many natural disturbances that the living entity goes on with. So Jadabharata here is mentioning to Rahagana that there are so many difficulties that a living entity goes through. But after a certain while, when he is unable to do so, he becomes very unhappy. When he cannot tolerate all these disturbances, he becomes unhappy. So he thinks, let me at least gain some money. Let me at least gain some wealth through which I can easily find out where is material pleasure. So he sometimes enters into businesses and creates a lot of money. But what happens? Jadabharata is mentioning here, he is cheated in business transactions. And what happens? One after the other, he thinks that this business has gone bust, so let me go to the next business. But what happens? Everything goes for a toss and the person loses money. And finally, they create enmity between each other, or there is enviousness between each other, because there is one living entity who has earned more money than the other. So there is natural cause of enviousness. So today we're going to talk about a little bit of this particular topic called as the enviousness. What is this enviousness? Why is it holding us back? Is it a quality that we should carry on forward for our spiritual life? Or is it something that we should be dropping off and trying our level best to keep away from this quality called as enviousness? Is it a good quality? Is it a bad quality? And if it is a bad quality, how can we get over it? These are some of the topics that we're going to discuss today. As I was told last time when I gave the lecture, everybody enjoys stories. Stories are the ones which helps us, because we are still grandchildren within our heart. We like our grandmother's stories coming back to us, right? So what happens is, I want to tell you a story. And this story is about a security guard. But actually, he was not a security guard. He was actually, in the previous lifetime, he was a chandala. A chandala means one who is an undertaker, not the undertaker that you see in the World Wrestling Federations. An undertaker really means a person who takes care of the dead bodies at the funeral grounds. He's the one who is supposed to take care of the ashes, take care of the resources, and any dead body that comes in. So he was actually a chandala. And while he was a chandala, he used to be reading during his free time. He used to read a lot of scriptural literature. And when he used to read a lot of scriptures, he used to memorize a lot of shlokas. And unfortunately, he passed away in the next lifetime. He was born and he got a job of a security guard. And this security guard was deployed in a society. And he was given a strict instruction that every night, if you find something wrong, you should start to whistle. You know, these security guards have a whistle. They go on whistling. And they keep on saying, be awake, be awake. Keep your eyes open. There might be something wrong. So like that, they keep going around their beat by saying such things. So one night, what happened? While everybody was sleeping, this person started whistling. And everybody got alert. And they thought that he's going to say something. But he remembered all his shlokas that he had read as a chandala. And he started speaking the first shloka. Ashaya baddate loke karmene bahu chintaya ayushinam tas na janati tasma jagrita jagrita. What did he say? He said that ashayat baddate loka, this whole world is revolving around only one thing, asha. Asha means desires. We would all like to have such realized security guards at our doorsteps. Ashayat baddate loka. He's saying that the whole world is running after desires and it is binding us to this world. But my dear, we all forget that we are in this rat race and one thing is decreasing. While we want to keep our wealth intact, our real wealth is the age and the health. It is decreasing day by day. So tasmat, jagrata, jagrata. Jagrata means be aware, be careful, awaken, awaken. So everybody started getting up. Oh my God, what is he saying? Is there a real burglar somewhere? And everybody rushed to him and said, hey, what happened? Why are you telling us to be awakened? He said, I am telling you this. Don't you see? Everybody has desires and everybody thinks their age will be there. And one day it is lost. And everybody thought, my God, this Sanskrit-speaking watchman, you know, too much to handle. We have to reduce 50 rupees from his income. The next day they went to sleep. Again, he started whistling because he remembered some more shlokas. The second shloka, he says, is burglars are here. Burglars are here. Burglars are here. Everybody lit on their lights and they came out and they saw who is the burglar here. And he started saying the shloka. Kama krodhascha lobhascha dehe tishtanti taskaraha jnanaratna paharaya tasmat jagrita jagrita. He's saying the real burglars are here. Everybody knows these burglars, but they are keeping within their houses only. And everybody started searching their house. Where is the burglar? Who is keeping within their houses? What is he stealing? Is he stealing the diamond, the gold? Is he stealing the deity altar? What is he stealing? Then the watchman says, the known, but at the same time, there are unknown enemies. While you know certain enemies, there are some unknown enemies. And what are those enemies? Those enemies are lust, anger, greed, arrogance, delusion, and enviousness. So we're going to speak specifically about this enviousness. And what happens? What is the quality of this? These burglars? The moment they appear, your wealth is lost. What is the wealth? The spiritual knowledge. The spiritual knowledge is the real wealth within the heart. It is the real wealth which we have to guard. And that is lost the minute we are under lust, anger, greed, arrogance, delusion, and enviousness. So if you look at the shlokas which we have been seeing in this chapter, which Maharaj also spoke about yesterday very beautifully, I was hearing that, it's all about lust. And today, Yadabharata is going to speak about enviousness. And what happens the minute these enemies appear? The knowledge is lost and it flies away from the system. So we have to control them and we have to leave a life which is of a real human being. So tasmat jagrata jagrata. By the time everybody around, you know, got worried, they were like, what is happening? What kind of watchmen do we have? They said something has to be done. So the story will continue. Do remind me if I do not complete this story. But from here, we take a detour and we'll come back to the story. We'll finish it off with this story. But here in this verse, he speaks about these enemies which are there. And today we're going to talk about this subtle anartha, which is the enviousness. So this enviousness, you can see the first picture here. This is actually describing enviousness. When other person is happy, we have two faces. One face is showing the smile to the others. But internally, what is the face? We are sad. It's called as fair at face and wrong at heart. This is real enviousness. Enviousness means para dukkha sukhi. If somebody else is unhappy, we are very happy. And modern day advertisements are like that. Some days back in India, they used to run an advertisement of a detergent powder where two ladies will have a bucket of water, they will have a soiled cloth, and one will immerse their soiled cloth inside a bucket of water for which the detergent advertisement is actually made, and the other one will insert it in the competitor's product. And when they take it out, it will be all shiny and bright on the advertised product. And on the other side, they will not put the light and it will be faded and it will not be looking nice at all. And the ad will be, is your cloth whiter than the other? What is the reason for comparison between the cloth shine? That person might have washed it 6 times. You wash it 3 times. You wash it 6 times, it will be whiter as well. But this is the competition of enviousness which we have been dosed with every day. And there was a big TV producer. And there was a big TV advertisement where it says, owner's pride, neighbor's envy. That means if you have that television, all the owners will feel very proud and all the neighbors will feel envy. What is the use of such a product where you are gaining more envious people around you? And your neighbor, who is supposed to be your best friend, is becoming an envious person. But this is the modern world. And people go and buy that product. After that advertisement, sales actually shot up. Why? Because everybody wanted to make their neighbor envy. They wanted to make their neighbor envious to say, I have a better thing than you. So this is enviousness. Para dukkha sukhi. If somebody is in distress, and that one fine day, he shows off his TV and that TV conks off because there is a lightning strike. The neighbor is very happy. See, I told you, you got a TV. It is gone now. He is in distress. They are in happiness. And similarly, vice versa. If para sukha dukhi, if I get happiness, the person who is envious is actually getting distress. But what is that we lose if we get into this envious circle? We cannot realize Krishna. And to spiritually advance, one of the qualities that we need is to be non-envious in nature. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he will reveal to only those personalities who are non-envious to him. Bhagavad Gita, the ABCDs of spiritual life. He says in the 9th chapter, first verse, Idam te te guhyatamam. Pravakshami anusuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshasye subhat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, Krishna gave this particular knowledge to Arjuna. This was one of his primary qualification, that he was never envious of Krishna. I shall impart to you the the most confidential knowledge and realization, and by knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. So Krishna is very clearly mentioning here that only when we do not have enviousness in the heart, only then we can understand the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. If we are envious towards the Lord, of course, we are not talking to the Lord on a daily basis, but if we are envious towards the Lord, the natural conclusion is we are envious towards other devotees. If we see enviousness towards other devotees, we can naturally conclude that there is some level of enviousness towards the Lord. And hence, for us to remove this enviousness, it is important that we look into the Shastras. But even there is a catch. Because Srimad Bhagavatam in the second verse immediately says that if you want to read the Shastras and out of that the brilliant Shastra called Srimad Bhagavatam, you should be non-envious in nature. That is the foundational tenet, the basic qualification that you should have to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So what does Srimad Bhagavatam say? Srimad Bhagavatam says that it is for those personalities who are actually non-envious in nature. So let's look at that verse, canto number 1, chapter number 1, text number 2. Dharma projahita kaitavo atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsaranam. In fact, if you just look at that particular sentence, Srila Prabhupada translates that completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavata Purana propounds the highest truth which is understandable by devotees who are nirmatsaranam, who are fully pure in heart. What does fully pure in heart mean? It means that we do not have enviousness in our heart. And why does it reject all the religious activities? It rejects all the religious activities because sometimes people do dharma. Sometimes people do religion and religious activities just to gain money. And once they gain money, they get into sense enjoyment. But very soon they find out that this sense enjoyment is not going to last for a long time and they get frustrated. And then they start asking for liberation. So this cycle keeps on going until they reach frustration and they ask for liberation. But all this methodology is actually rejected by Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam says the real essence of dharma is actually to do selfless devotional service. That's the foundational tenet. And that is only understood by those devotees who are non-envious in nature. So to become non-envious, we have to take the benefit of the Shastras. But to read the Shastra, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the qualities is we should be pure at heart. Then only we can understand it completely. So Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear. And it is very aptly placed. This shloka is placed at the second shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that means it talks about the qualities that is required. So let's talk about a little bit about enviousness and its existence. Because here Jada Bharata says people get cheated by business transactions and they actually become envious or inimical between each other. And if you look at your surroundings, we can do a very good comparison between what we are seeing in this material world and what we will feel in the spiritual world. In the material world, if you just look at other living entities, and here I am just giving an example of some birds, and this is of course a cartoon character, but we find that even in the cartoon characters that they make, one of the most popular games, the games they make is Angry Bird. Why can't they make a bird who is calm bird? Why can't they make a bird who is a peaceful bird? And everybody downloads it, plays it because they can relate to it. Yes, I have to be angry. I have to hit that pig. I have to throw stones at that pig. And this became a, such a huge hit game. The birds are angry and the material world is happy. That's because even between other living entities, there is enviousness. Once I was traveling back from school and my school teacher was sitting along with me and she was staring outside the school bus window and our school bus was stuck in a traffic. And she was looking at the sky and she was seeing an eagle fly and she said, only if I wish I was an eagle, I would have reached my destination faster. At that time, I was reading Bhagavad Gita. I was wanted to tell my school teacher that such an abominable life. Traffic is much better because if you become an eagle, you have to go through another 800 million species of traffic before coming here. What to speak about that traffic? Right? People do not know what they wish for. People do not know. They just look at some qualities. Oh, that bird can fly. I cannot fly. So there is a little bit of enviousness. Or there is a little bit of desire that I also want to fly. So in the material world, there is always enviousness which exists. Even the birds, they fight for dominance. I don't know if you have seen. They always come and fight for their territory, their dominance. And why is that? Because in the material world, always there are limited resources and there are unlimited desires. Of course, you cannot achieve all the desires with limited resources. But on the right-hand side, if you actually see the spiritual world, and you can see here how nicely Krishna is interacting with all the birds. This is the spiritual world of birds, where the birds come and they only sing for the pleasure of the Lord. And all the birds, they cooperate with each other. Now, this I am not saying. Please don't think so that I am painting a picture just because I put angry bird on the other side and for the presentation I have to show some birds who are doing good because Srimad Bhagavatam says so. And let us go to that particular shloka where it says, how is the spiritual world? And especially to speak about the birds who are non-envious to each other. In canto number 3, text number 15, sorry, chapter 15, text number 18, there is a very beautiful shloka. Paravatanya bhrita sarasa sarasa chakravaka datyu hahamsa sukati tiri barhinamya kola halo viramate achiramatramuchche bringadipe harikatami vagayamane. A very beautiful verse in this chapter, Vaikuntha is being described. What happens in Vaikuntha? That is being described here. And let us look at it. What is the mood of the birds in Vaikuntha? It says, when the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. These are different birds. And all these birds are constantly singing. And they are singing with their melodious voice. But the minute they see a bumblebee appear, it appears in the vicinity. And when it appears, this beautiful bumblebee, when it appears, they don't say, hey, bumblebee, shut up. I am singing here. Who are you to sing above me? They don't do that. They actually, what they do is they become quiet. Because bumblebee, they feel that he is singing the glories of the Lord. Harikatam Eva. This Eva is very important. What is this Eva? It seems as if he is actually, may or may not be singing Harikata, but it seems as if he is singing. By seemingly seeing that the bumblebee is actually going to sing the Harikatha, they go lull in their voices. They keep quiet in their voices and they go back and they take a back stage and they give them the front stage. Sometimes we should watch our Kirtan Mandalis also do some things like this. Not take the mridang and take four more kartals and jump onto the stage and do a koko jumbo and a jembe jembe and then do a lot of kirtan. No, that is not the mood of Vaikuntha. That is not the mood of Goloka. It's a showboating feature that we always have, that I can do it better, that I have this capability, that pride, and that brings enviousness between others. But here we see even birds, they take a step back and they allow. So these are not angry birds. These are spiritual birds. These are great birds. But we spoke about birds. What to speak about plants and flowers? So Srimad Bhagavatam gives an insight on plants and flowers also. So the very next verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15, text 19 of Canto 3, it says, Mandarakunda kurabotpala champakarna punnaganaga bakulambuja parijata gandher chite tulasika bharanena tasya yasmin tapasya sumanaso bahumanayanti. A very beautiful comparison is given. There are so many beautiful flowers, flowers with different petals, number of petals, fragrances, fully opulent fragrances, beautiful colors, tender petals. And what are those flowers? The flowers are Mandara, Kunda, Purabotpala, Champaka, Punnaga, Naga, Bakulambuja, Parijata. Don't ask me the botanical names. Some of them are known. We have to go back to spiritual world and find their names. So till that time, we have to be happy with these Sanskrit names. So these Mandara, Kunda, Purabotpala, Champakarna, Punnaga, Naga, Bakulambuja, Parijata, these beautiful flowers are swaying in the wind and they are emanating their fragrances. And this lily and Bakula and everybody, they are full of transcendental fragrance and they are full of eternal qualities, that if you pick up this flower and make it a garland and put it on Shyam Sundar, it will never decay. Always it will be there fresh and always they will give fragrance. Such beautiful flowers are there in the spiritual world. But what do? When they find out, Gande archite tulasi khava bharanena tasya. When the Lord picks up the tulsi mala, they all go back. And they say, Tulsi Maharani, you are the one which the Lord wants. Your devotion is the highest. In fact, if you see tulsi leaves or tulsi manjaris, they are not even that colorful. They are faded. And they don't have even those fullest of flowers. But every other fragrant flowers like orchids, lilies, chrysanthemums and all these wonderful flowers, they take a back seat. And whom do they allow? They allow Tulsi to go in front. Because she is given this special preference by the Lord. Because he himself wears these garlands. So we see this is the mood of Vaikuntha. Even with the birds, even with the plants, there is no enviousness. Envy is not something which is seen in the living entities. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us this proof. It is showing us a glimpse of what it is to go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to understand, if this is the spiritual world and this is the expectation even out of birds and plants and twigs, because all are sentient there, all are conscious, they are not dull. They are spiritually conscious. So we have to find the very reasons why we are envious. One of the things is mentality of scarcity. In this world, everything is scarce. I was hearing to one of the lectures given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in the Chaupati temple in 2008-2009. And he was mentioning very clearly that he met a PhD person in economics. And that person was researching for 6 to 8 years. And when he asked, what is your subject matter of research? He said, I want to find the economic sutra. Sutra means just a small little line which will kind of define entire economics. So he said, entire economics can be described and summarized in two statements. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj asked, what are those two statements? He said, the golden law of economics is that always there is limited resources and there are unlimited desires. These are the two statements. Unlimited desires and limited resources, and everything that emanates is a demand and supply and all those terms of economics. But basically, it is nothing but we have limited resources And there are a lot of people who want to capture and lord over those resources. And that's why you have demand, supply, profit, supernormal profit, all those economic terms. I apologize if somebody is economics here or economics majors. This is no means to dissuade them from their profession, but it is just to see all these professions from the light of the Shastras. And the second problem is there is scarcity of opportunities in this material world. So people feel, I have the skill, I have to go and showcase, but the job opportunity will not be there. And somebody else with a lesser opportunity will get it, or lesser talent will get it. And then there is enviousness. And then we become envious because we don't have something the other person has. Or other person has something which we want. So basically this want and not haves causes enviousness. But my dear devotees, the enviousness starts as a very inactive attitude within our heart. There is no action on this. It is there within the heart and it is inactive. But if we don't quell that enviousness in the heart, slowly it becomes an action. And Srimad Bhagavatam warns us. If we don't quell this enviousness in the heart, it will turn into an action which will become very difficult for us to come out. And what are the examples in the Bhagavatam it is given? We all know these stories. We know the story of Chitraketu and his wives. He didn't marry 1, 2, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. He married 1 crore wives to get a child. But he could not get one. But when Angira Muni came and he blessed and he gave a sweet nectar, then his wife Kritadyuti gave birth to a very nice child. And this child was very affectionate to her parents, Kritadyuti and Chitraketu, that the all other 90,99,999 wives, 99,99,999 wives, they became envious and they gave poison to the child and the child died. The child did not cause any harm to these wives, but there were a lot of expectations of the king and this child was taking it away. What harm can the child do to the wives who are adults? But who is the person who died? The child died. This is the reason of envy. We see the other example between Prithu Maharaj and Indra. Prithu Maharaj, he was doing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And when he was doing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, he was doing the 99th one he completed. He was about to do the 100th one. At that time, Indra became envious. Indra thought that I am the one who is called as Shatakrita. Shatakrita means one who has done 100 times the Ashwamedha Yajna. And he thought, let me steal the very sacrificial horse. Now imagine, sacrifice is done for the pleasing of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and for the prosperity of the citizens. Doesn't Indra know that stopping a sacrifice is going against the devotional service of Krishna? Doesn't Indra know that stopping a sacrifice is acting against the prosperity of the citizens for which he is reigning the heaven? He knows all of these, but because he is burning with envy, his intelligence is overpowered. So enviousness, it might start with an inactive attitude in our heart, but very soon by these examples, we get to know that it becomes an action. It becomes an action. And what great action can we speak of when there is another story which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is between Daksha and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva had married his daughter, Daksha's daughter, Parvati, and Daksha thought that Lord Shiva is actually his son-in-law and he should give respect to the father-in-law. So Lord Shiva came to Lord Brahma, paid his obeisances. Then Lord Shiva was completely thinking about Lord Vishnu and he did not get up from his seat, due to which Lord Daksha gave a lot of curses to Lord Shiva because he was envious of Lord Shiva's position. So by all these examples, we get to know that enviousness should be quelled at the first point of detection. Because if we leave it, what will happen is over a period of time, it will cause a lot of action and which will be so hellish. What was the result of Daksha? He lost his head and he got a goat head. This was the result, and this is the result of being envious. So envy is nothing but an indirect appreciation of others. We don't want to appreciate others, but when we are envious, that means that that particular entity or a living entity or our friend or devotee or anybody has that quality. So how do we come out? First thing we should do is appreciate. So now we are looking at the qualities, what we should develop to come out of enviousness. The first thing we have to develop is genuinely appreciate. And why don't we appreciate? Because we think we have better talents. We can win better rewards. We can gain more appreciation from others. No. Every single soul is part and parcel of Krishna, and everybody has a unique service in the spiritual world. Then why are we competing against others? Let us just fine-tune on our progress. And if somebody is singing well, Krishna has bestowed that blessings on that devotee. Let us appreciate. We have got some other talent which Krishna has blessed on us. Let us find out those qualities and let's progress on that path. So we have to appreciate from the heart. And we have to develop this talent that, and we have to understand every jiva has a unique relationship with Krishna. And every blessing comes from Krishna. So why should we hate each other's blessing? Somebody is singing well. Somebody is a book distributor. Somebody can organize classes very well. Somebody can give classes very well. Somebody can make presentations. Somebody cannot make presentations. Doesn't matter. Each person has a skill. Each person brings onto the table their skill and their individuality of service to Krishna. And that has to be glorified. We should not feel, oh, I need that quality. We don't need to imitate. We just need to levitate and elevate in our qualities so that Krishna notices us. That is what is required. If you look at Srila Prabhupada, he never made two of his disciples to be in the same way. He allowed his disciples to have that individuality. So we see so many wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Somebody is taking care of the entire Mayapur project. Some of them are building so wonderful temples. Some of them are distributing books. There is so much of variety, and variety is called as the spice of life. This variegatedness comes only when we are non-envious. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam says this famous sloka, Yasyasyati Bhaktir Bhagavati Yakinchana Sarvair Gunair Tatra Samasate Suraha Harava Bhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna Maro Ratasthyane Rati Davato Bahi. It says that Sarvair Gunair Tatra Samasate Suraha. When we actually develop this devotional service, all the good qualities of a Sura, of a demigod, is available to us. So hence, we should develop this quality of devotional service. And what devotional service in particular will eradicate enviousness out of the heart? That also Srimad Bhagavatam says. There is a very easy way to come out of enviousness. And I'll tell you, my dear devotees, this is very easily given in Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 11. Text number 22. Most simple instruction to come out of enviousness. Purusho Ramacharitam Shranaver Upadharayan Anaramshya Paro Rajan Karma Bandair Vimuchyate. You have to sit and hear Ramayan, says Srimad Bhagavatam. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Very wonderful this is. Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy. What another benediction do we need? And thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Purusho Ramacharitam Shranair Upadharayan. That means we have to sit and hear the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, Ramayana, is so beautiful. We should turn this one day. So beautiful. So wonderful. And it is so great in each of those pastimes. It reminds me, and Ramayana is also such a great literature that it connects with our daily life. I stay in Bombay and I travel by train. And once I was traveling by train, this pre-pandemic days, and there was an elderly gentleman who was reading this Valmiki Ramayana with the help of a Sanskrit book. So he was an old gentleman. And then there was a young gentleman, his son, who was in his 20s, sitting next to him. And this old gentleman was talking to his young son, saying, "You should also read Ramayana." And I was very interested. I was giving an ear to what he was saying. And he said, and the young boy said, "What is there in Ramayana? Why is that I should read Ramayana?" He said, "All the questions are answered in Ramayana. All the questions of life is answered in Ramayana." He said, "Is it?" He said, "Yes." That person said. The old man said, his father said, "Yes, every question is answered." Then the son challenged the father. He said, "From the morning, my left eye is twitching. My left eye is twitching from the morning. Can you tell me from Ramayana why it is so?" He said, "Yes, I can tell you." Now I was more interested. I kept my Japmala aside. Now I said, "Now I'm going to get a reason, an ophthalmic reason maybe, why the left eye is twitching." And from Ramayana, he quoted a shloka. And he said, "This is the interval shloka of Ramayana." I said, "What is the interval shloka?" You know, in a movie, when they come to the most climax, at that time, they shoot an interval right in the between. He said, "This is the interval shloka of Ramayana." I said, "What is interval shloka?" And he sang that beautiful shloka. And that I could memorize. I could go back to Valmiki Ramayana. Sita kapindra shanada charana rajiva kemo jyotjyotvalani sugriva ramasya pranaya prasange vamani netrani samam spuranti. I said, "Please explain me the meaning. What does this mean?" He says, "I'm going to talk about four personalities." The son was also interestedly listening. I was also interested listening. Which four personalities are going to talk about? He's saying, "This is the episode when Lord Rama and Sugriva are shaking their hands and saying, now we are friends. Now we are not enemies. Now we are going to be friends and I will help you find Sita." So this is the friendship bond which is going to happen. And at that time, Valmiki is writing an interval plot. And Valmiki is saying, Sita Kapindra Shanada Charanam. Sita, he's first saying, there are four personalities here. Sita, Kapi Indra. Who is the Kapi Indra? Who is the king of the apes? Vali. That is Sugriva's elder brother. And Shanada Charanam, one who travels in the night. Who are the people who travel in the night? Rakshasas. So whom is he mentioning about? Ravana. So simultaneously, he's speaking about three people. Sita, Kapindra, Shanada, Charanam. And then he's saying, Rajiva. Rajiva is Lord Ramchandra. Hema Ujjalotpalani. Hema Ujjalotpalani. That means it says Hema. Hema means Sita's eyes is like a lotus. Hema. Hema means lotus. Kapi Indra. Kapi Indra means his eyes is like golden color, because he was like a golden color ape. And Ravana's color was Ujjwala. That means it was like fire. His eyes were like fire. Then his son said, "Are these and all is okay. Tell me why his eyes are twitching. You are not telling me." He said, wait. Sugriva Ramasya Pranaya Prasange. When this beautiful prasanga, that means the beautiful conversation happened between Sugriva and Lord Ramchandra, and they both shook their hands and they said, "We will come together to find Mother Sita." At that time, a very unique thing happened. Vamani netrani samam spuranti. All the three personalities, Sita, Vali, and Ravana, all three of them started blinking their left eyes vigorously. He said, "But that is okay. They all blinked. Maybe something would have happened. What is the meaning?" He said, "If a lady blinks her eye, her left eye. As per the Samudrika Shastra, if the lady blinks her left eye, great auspiciousness is going to come. And if a man blinks his left eye, great distress or death is going to arrive. So when Samani Spuranti, when Sita Maharani actually blinked her eye, victory is going to come to Lord Ramchandra. That means Vali is going to die. If Vali is going to die, Vali was the person who kept Ravana 6 months under his armpit without a deodorant, my dear devotees. So that is the position of Ravana. Ravana is going to lose his life. Vamani netrani samam spuranti. I said electric trains can also give you Ramayana. Very beautiful Ramayana. Very wonderful Ramayana. And if we learn Ramayana like this, every one shloka of Valmiki, where will enmity stay in our heart? Where will enviousness stay of the heart? When we see friends of Sugriva and Rama coming together, naturally from Bhagavatam, now everybody's heart will yearn for more Ramayana. This is Krishna's glories. This is wonderful glories. So finally, Srila Prabhupada mentions there are three levels of non-enviousness. What are those levels? The first level is the lowest. And we should aim to go higher and higher. So we should go from level 1 to level 2 to level 3. The level 1 says we should be non-envious of others. This is the basic quality of being non-envious. Many of us feel this is the ultimatum of being non-envious. But no, this is the basic quality of being non-envious. We have to ensure that we are not envious of others. Envious of others is nothing but self-enviousness. And we damage our peace. So what we should do? We should appreciate. We should know we have got some other unique talents which we have been blessed by Krishna. This is the first level. The second level is when we still progress on this level one, we reach level two of non-enviousness. And what is that? That is that we become genuine well-wisher of the other person. We provide all the assistance, just like the birds, just like the flowers in Vaikuntha. They step back and they give an opportunity for the other entities to come up and glorify Krishna. So this is our duty, that we should become a genuine well-wisher of the other person. And we should do all that is possible without needing a cheap adoration or an appreciation. We should actually help others and we should not hanker for that appreciation. And ladies and gentlemen and all devotees, would you like to know what is level three? Level three is to establish a competition-less society with Krishna in the center. And that is today's purport of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport in 4 to 5 lines. This is one of the smallest purports, but he is giving the greatest message of how to come over enviousness. And let us read the purport. And this is the reason why I didn't bring out the purport right in the middle, because now when we read the purport, we will get to know how glorious is Srila Prabhupada, how great he is to give the highest truth in the simplest of words. So let's read his purport. This is an example of struggle for existence, the attempt to counteract the onslaught of material nature. This creates enmity in society. Look at the word. He says in society, and consequently, society is filled with envious people. Srila Prabhupada could have written that let's talk about how to become good with others. Many, many spiritual organizations are working on the level one. We should not be envious to others. We should be just good to others. We should take care of others. We should appreciate others. Many corporate structures are working on the level one and level two. But only Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish level three. And he mentions, one person is envious of another, and this is the way of material world. The Krishna consciousness movement, this Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. So it's only in the ISKCON movement, in the movement of Krishna consciousness, the aim of Srila Prabhupada, that we have to become non-envious. Of course, look at that. He further emphasizes in the next statement, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna consciousness. But if we have Krishna consciousness, then one can create an exemplary society, again he says, where there is no envy. So Srila Prabhupada clearly mentions that we should form a society where we appreciate devotees against each other. We remove this root of competition-based devotional service. There can be a healthy wise competition, but it is to appreciate each other, not to become inimical or envious to each other. Coming back to our original story, as I said, in the day 3 also, the man whistled and he said, Sampada Swapna Sandesha Yovanam Kusumopanam Vidyut Chanchalam Ayushyam Tasmat Jagrata Jagrata. He said, health is losing away. It is withering like flowers. Day by day, we are nearing to the last days of the body. So why should you keep enviousness in the heart? So please wake up, wake up. And people got troubled by this time. They said, this watchman, Sanskrit scholar, every day he wakes up and tells some Sanskrit shloka or the other. The next day also it happened. Mata nasti, pita nasti, nasti bandhu, sahodara, artho nasti, graham nasti, tasmat jagrata jagrata. When death comes, nobody will take care of your assets, and people started crumbling even more. There is no father, there is no mother. We have to go alone, so be careful. We cannot even carry our enviousness with us. We cannot carry our jealousiness. But all these will cause these karmic activities, so be careful. So people got very frustrated by this security and this watchman, and they finally told the king, please take care of him. He is a stupid idiot. He keeps saying some Sanskrit shlokas. And then the king said, tell me your shlokas. And this person kept on repeating the shlokas. The king thought, this guy is a very intelligent person. He's talking about tenets of life. So he said, why don't you take the position of a prime minister in my kingdom? The man said, no, I cannot take the position of a prime minister because I am saying myself, age is less, health is less. We should not be envious. So why we should keep on going? So he said, if you want to give me a post as a security watchman, I will take the post of a warden. And he became a warden and he started saying the same shlokas again and again. And every convict came and they were thinking, what is this man speaking shlokas? One after day, one after day, one after day, each convict started coming. And finally, they became his entire disciples. And then he asked, what are you actually speaking about? He said, what are you worrying about? He said, we are all going to die one day. The king is going to put us into the gallows and we are going to be hanged and we are going to die. And we know we are going to meet with death. He said, you guys are very fortunate. He said, how? The people who are outside this jail, they don't know when they are going to die. You at least know when you are going to die. You at least know you are certain when you are going to die. So rejoice. So he said, so does that mean that whatever mistake I have done, I should rejoice for that? Because I stole somebody's wealth. I kidnapped somebody. So you are saying I should rejoice for that? No, he said, no. Do you realize that now it was a wrong thing to do? He said, yeah, we realize. So the minute you realize, you are out of it. So you are as good as new. Now death or no death, no problem. Now you have learned your lesson. So the punishment is over. So they became very positive. They were very depressed. They were very negative. But just by listening to a person speaking in this way, all the enmity and enviousness went outside the heart. And after some days, when the king came, he was speaking his final shloka. Janma dukkham jara dukkham jaya dukkham puna puna samsara sagaram dukkham tasma jagrata jagrata. King, you are thinking that your life is very wonderful, but the jailer's life is bad, but the convict and your life is full of miseries. Old age is painful. Having a lot of property or money is full of sorrow. Everything in this world is full of sorrow. So tasmat jagrata jagrata. So be awakened, be awakened, be awakened. Don't be inimical. The king saw that all the convicts had transformed by his satsang and he left all of them. And he became the chandala with 5 shlokas. He became the guru. This is written by Shankaracharya, though. He is retired as a panchakam as five shlokas, but very beautiful shlokas. So if we want to get rid of enviousness out of our heart, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions, we should ensure that we take the blessings of Guru, we ardently pray to the devotees, and we strongly try to reach the level 3, which is to create an atmosphere of non-envy and make Srila Prabhupada proud that we are in this movement of International Society of Krishna Consciousness, not to just become non-envious, but to create a society of devotees who are non-envious. That should be our goal. Our goal is not to become, I will become non-envious, I will go back home, back to Godhead. No. Our goal is to become, make a movement in which everybody is non-envious. This is Srila Prabhupada's vision. This is Srila Prabhupada's desire. And if we walk on Acharya's desire, our life is completely successful. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. I once again thank you all devotees for giving me an opportunity to speak and giving your ardent patient listening. I'm not a good speaker, and this is not a false humility. There will be a lot of mistakes that I would have done. So please tweak my ears and make those corrections. And if you found something nice, that is never mine. That all belongs to my spiritual master. So thank you very, very much. I look forward to any questions, feedbacks, clarifications, mistakes. More than happy to stand corrected. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpata rubyascha. Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Nama. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Beautiful presentations. It was like lively. We were seeing everything. Thank you for so much nice presentation. You're explaining so detailedly about the envious and how that exists and the reasons for the envious. And what are the qualities we have to come out of that envious, and that three levels was very nice. So the last point was so nice, like as Srila Prabhupada was also saying, we have to come to the level 3. With all your prayers, please bless us, Prabhuji, each everyone in Bhakti Sangha and everyone in the world. So we have to come out from that envious. So you have some time, right, Prabhuji, for the questions and realizations from the devotees?
Yes, Mataji, definitely.
Thank you. So I request devotees, if anybody have any questions or realizations, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranama. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful presentation and very nice story you told about the chandala reading the shlokas. Usually we see Brahmanas reading the shloka, but chandala, and he is like becoming a guru of many people. So it's really amazing, Prabhuji. We learned a lot today, and as Mataji said, like, please bless us that we can follow what you said. Thank you so much.
I don't have the authority to bless Mataji, but definitely the parampara is there, and you're all listening Bhagavatam daily. So definitely it's the other way around. I ask for your blessings. But thank you very much for your kind words. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
There is one question on the chat. Can I take that?
Yes, Prabhuji.
This is by Megha Patel Mataji. She's asking, does enviousness stay in the subtle mind, which stays with us even after destruction of the material gross body? Yes. It's the very reason why we are in this material world, because we are envious of Krishna, and that stays with us, and that's why we keep coming back to this material world. The day we cleanse ourselves of this enviousness, we get transported to the spiritual world. So yes, it stays with us. This envious, this enmity quality stays with us. That's the very reason we are there in the material world. I hope that answers the question.
And also, Prabhuji, one of the devotees was asking, can you share that presentation?
Sure, I can share it. I can share it to Shama Gauri Mataji, and she can share it on to others.
Sure, thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Anuradha Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Sorry for the noises, but I'm on the road. Prabhu, you spoke about Ramayana. And I just want to know, Prabhu, I personally do not have as much attraction for Ramayana as Srimad Bhagavatam. So I just want to know, will Srimad Bhagavatam do instead of Ramayana? That's for my personal, Prabhu. Somehow or other, I do not feel attracted. It is for me, Krishna pastimes are more attractive for me, Prabhu.
So that is okay. In fact, when we develop our consciousness, there are two ways to look at it. When we develop our consciousness, we appreciate everything about the Lord. Because if you love somebody, you will not say, I love this part of it and I don't love that part of it. But then as we progress in spiritual life, some people would like to get attracted towards not the Aishwarya pastimes of the Lord. It quite happens. But there is also different layers of Ramayana if you actually read through it. There is also different layers of moods, of services in Ramayana, because finally there are exemplary examples of how to serve the Lord in Ramayana. So it's okay, it's a personal preference. But that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, in many places, Ramayana is also given in a very condensed form. So in the 9th canto, where Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, in the first canto where Ramchandra did his pastimes, those are also mentioned there. So you cannot get away from Ramayana. Somewhere or the other, Ramayana is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you are more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam, where our Gaudiya Acharyas have commentated on Srimad Bhagavatam elaborately, so we can follow in their footsteps. However, my only suggestion would be that let us not hate anything in Krishna consciousness. We can choose what suits our palate, what suits our progress within the spiritual life, and what augments our interest to pick up certain spiritual topics. So that's completely all right. But
thank you. But
Ramayana, I do not know. I personally feel there are so many things in Ramayana where you can find and draw parallels. But that is completely fine. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, definitely, Prabhu. No question of hating, because it's just another version of Krishna.
Yeah.
It's just that I do not feel attracted. That's all. My ears, you know, because my son is so much into Ramayana. And so when he plays the, you know, the lectures, somewhere my mind automatically get drifted. It's just the opposite for Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not that I'm doing willingly, oh, Ramayana, I'll close my ears. It is not that. No way hate, Prabhu. I do not have a love, I would say. That's all. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a beautiful answer. So I request any other devotees have any other questions or realizations. Prabhuji, we have some realization. Okay, Raj Prabhuji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Again, a very beautiful class. Like I said initially, I loved your stories, and this was again an amazing class. Beautiful. I appreciate how much time and effort you put in putting all these things together to make such a beautiful class, coming back to the story, going back and forth, putting again, as Mataji said, the Ramayana story, very beautiful. And actually, I was wondering, wow, what that guy is going to say in the train next, you know? Beautiful. One question, Prabhu, small question. You know, I'm very new to Krishna consciousness. It's like a couple of years I'm following, but I'm following really hard. I would say I go 100% as much as I can. So Prabhu, when you listen to so many classes, it's beautiful. You're full of knowledge. You know, I come from a business world. So you understand, what you're doing is practically nothing. It's zero, you know, when you see Bhagavatam and see big examples, I was in a world of illusion, and thank God I came out. When you listen to so many classes, of course, so much positive feedback, it is in you. And let's say you're in another class and you give this feedback because this is coming from parampara, and and let's say there is someone who gets annoyed with the, because you are such a young devotee. Let's say in your case also, you are such a young, because I was reading your thing, you are from 24 years, you are in Krishna consciousness. So when you are young and you put some feedback and you see that some other devotee who is getting annoyed of you jumping in, of course, you don't want to do Vaishnava Prad, because everybody has Krishna in his heart. This is what we are learning. Even a chandala has Krishna in his heart. What to talk about a devotee who is spreading about glories of the Lord? So you don't want to do any Vaishnava Prad too. So how to deal with that situation, Prabhu, when you think somebody else is getting annoyed of you getting any feedback in or some. So how to deal with that situation, Prabhu?
So if I, first and foremost, years of Krishna consciousness, I'm still practicing, I'm standing at the shore. Definitely do not have the qualities, I'm trying to develop them, still far away. But if I understand your question correctly, Prabhu, you're saying that somebody is giving a feedback and or somebody is giving a positive feedback, I guess. That's what you were mentioning. Yes, and while listening to the positive feedback, somebody else is getting annoyed by it, either to the person who is giving a feedback or either to the person who is receiving the feedback.
You got it, Prabhu, yes.
Right. So the way we should think about it is, when we feel envious about others, or when we feel, or when we get this notion of envy in our heart, we should first check, is the enviousness is there in me, that it is getting fulfilled through others. That means I am envious of somebody else having those qualities, and I am finding those similarity in somebody else. So I need that. I want that. So one should not use the moment to find out who is envious and non-envious. This lecture was not a metric scale to find out A, B, C, D are envious, D, E, F, G are non-envious. That's not the goal of this lecture. The lecture is to self-introspect and find out that if we find the enviousness growing in our heart, we should find out whether we have envy within ourselves. And if we find somebody else being very proud, being superior, having a superiority complex or some of that, that means we should also find out whether we are proud about something, and we are finding that, you know what, I don't have that superiority complex of pride, and hence I am proud. Do you understand? Right? I am proud of not being proud. So that's a further layer to it. So sometimes it is so deep-rooted, and that's why I said it's so subtle. We have to self-introspect. So in case if somebody is glorifying or somebody is giving a feedback and somebody is getting annoyed, we just tolerate. We have to tolerate. It is very difficult. It's not that I'm saying because I've perfected it or something, but it is something which everybody tries, and they have to keep try and try and try again. And hence, we have to tolerate. We have to tolerate insult. We have to tolerate appreciation. And so the minute we find that appreciation, when it is given to us, a Vaishnav is the one who immediately tries to close his eyes, ears, and he doesn't want to hear more. It's not from the outside. It's from the inside. It's from the intent. The very deep recess of the heart should feel, what is being spoken? Why people are speaking about me? Let's speak about the Lord who is all wonderful. So when those qualities develop within the heart, then we are slow and steadily progressing towards non-enviousness. Otherwise, we are miles away. So, short answer to your question, Prabhu, if I understand it correctly, would be tolerate if somebody is getting annoyed. And if you still find somebody is getting annoyed, extensively glorify from the bottom of the heart, truthfully, the qualities that that person has. Even to an enemy, you should glorify. Lord Ramchandra glorified Ravana, told Lakshmana to go and learn from him. While he was lying down, about to leave out his life. This is very important. And the same Ramayana gives us two examples. Sorry to take this question a little longer. Ravana thought Vibhishana was his enemy. Right? He was his half-brother. Ravana thought Vibhishana was his enemy. Why? Because he himself was an enemy to his half-step-brother Kubera. Because he stole Kubera's pawn, he stole Kubera's Pushpak Viman, and Kubera was not happy with him. So how will his brother be happy with him? So because he was inimical towards his half-step-brother, Vibhishana, he found that enmity in him. He thought that Mandodari is envious of Sita, and that is why she is telling him not to bring Sita to Ashoka Vatika. But actually, he was envious of Lord Ramchandra. Mandodari was not envious of Mother Sita. She knew the chastity of Sita. Because of his enviousness to the Lord, he actually showcased that enviousness towards or enmity towards Mandodari. So this is how it transforms. We have enmity towards the Lord, and that comes across to other people. So we should do a self-introspection. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. So beautiful answer. We had one more raised hands, Megha Patel. Sure. Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada and Guru and Gauranga. Prabhu, very beautiful class. I just thought everything, all the examples, everything was just very nicely organized. And my question to you is, you know, you said to get rid of this enviousness quality, you have to appreciate and glorify the good in others. But at the moment that you feel this strong emotion that this is, you know, it's a piggyback from Raj Prabhu's question. And you have this emotion of like, you just cannot think, even though you know there are good qualities, you can't, you know, you'd be fakely saying this good qualities. How can you say it from the heart, the good qualities, when the emotion of that annoyance or something is so strong and you know that this person is doing something wrong and tolerate? Like, how do you tolerate and at the same time glorify someone?
When you find commonalities of service between them and you, when you find commonalities of service that you have to do under him, suppose he's your god brother or god sister, and both have to organize a Vyasa Puja, how much enmity can you have? Because finally the guru will get displeased. And the best way to come out of it is dance together. If it is opposite sexes, then serve each other. If it is same sexes, just dance with each other. One twirl of a dance with Hare Krishna, all enmity is lost. This is a practical suggestion Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do. And we should dance more. We should chant more. We should do kirtan joyous more. I know this answer might seem like so superfluous on the top, that this is, we are talking about the core inner emotions and this person did that, that person did this. This is why I am enmity. We have 1,000 rationalizations why we are feeling not to appreciate the other person, or we have 1,000 rationalizations why we cannot genuinely from our heart appreciate. But we just need one reason genuine to appreciate, which is that person is in Krishna consciousness. Or if that person says Hare Krishna, that person is a Vaishnava. And that is a great quality. A person who can say Krishna in this lifetime. Haridas Thakur says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Harinama Chintamani, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks this question to Haridas Thakur, who is a Vaishnava? He says, anybody who just says Krishna, Hare Krishna once, he's a Vaishnava and he should be respected. And the Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Harinama Chintamani that this is the quality of a Vaishnava. And anybody, what to speak about those who are chanting 16 rounds? They should be supremely worthy. So anybody who is chanting, on that day he chanted 16 rounds, we still, Prabhuji, you chanted very well. Very nice. Hare Krishna. Though they may think that it is actually false glorification, that is theirs. But you have glorified keeping Krishna in the center. So we should find opportunities to appreciate. There might be 1,000 rationalizations our mind will give to say, this is why, you know, Haridas Varya Prabhu could not appreciate. But you should hit the mind with a chappal and say, you know, stop it. There are 1,000 reasons where you can appreciate. So that is what Srila Prabhupada wants, a society which is non-envious.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a beautiful answer. Prabhuji, we have some of the realizations in the chat. If you have time, can I read for you, Prabhuji?
Sure, Prabhu. Sure, Mataji. But I think people can read. I don't want to hear. It's quite contrary to the subject. But I really thank everyone who has written it down. Thank you, Mataji. But in the interest of time, let us not read them.
Thank you so much. So nice. Okay. So we had, if you have time, we have one more raised hand just now.
Is sure, okay? Mataji. Questions, realizations are welcome.
Thank you. Janaki Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees and Prabhuji, thank you so much for your time, Danat Pranam. Prabhuji, to piggyback on Megha Mataji's question, we mentioned that we need to find certain commonality in the service. So the whole discussion is happening around devotees and circle of devotee Sangha. But what if we know that by certain qualities or lifestyle, that individual is an individual person, but is not a devotee and not following ISKCON practices and lifestyle at all. So in that context, there is nothing common around the four regulative principles, around anything to do with chanting, reading, hearing, anything to do with Krishna or Lord, anyway, in any way. There is no commonality at all. So if you come from that mindset and there is nothing in common, how do you still not be non-envious and find something to be appreciative about? And how do you work on yourself when you are in that situation?
Very, very nice question, Mataji. Thank you for posting this question. Very practical. That is why we saw the two examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where the flowers were completely different and Tulsi is completely different. Not same quality. But your point is correct. They both serve the Lord, so there is a commonality. Here you are talking about a situation where there is no commonality of service. There is no Krishna consciousness. But if they are our family members and we are able to do our Krishna consciousness and they are not practicing Krishna consciousness, that means they are not becoming a very great impediment to our Krishna consciousness. That quality we can appreciate. If you really look at it from that perspective, if you are allowed to go or we are able to go for a Kartik Yatra, and they are very supportive of the fact, okay, you go to the dham, come back, I don't want to go. That is also to be appreciated, that they are able to manage themselves without our presence, and you can go, and they are allowing us to go to Krishna and practice our devotional service. So they are creating a favorable environment. Though they might be not chanting or following four regulative principles, but if they are not telling you to stop, they are not enabling. So there can be certain good qualities which can be still found and appreciated. But what I'm trying to say is, does not mean that we associate with them 24/7. But at the same time, we do not speak ill of them. We speak good about them. We find out, we discriminate that, okay, these are the people who do not follow Krishna consciousness and follow, because we are in that adhikari, we are in the Madhyama adhikari or Kanishka adhikari, whatever. We find out that they follow and we do not follow. But if we want to appreciate their qualities, whenever they enable us to do Krishna consciousness, and so that we should appreciate them. Suppose we had kirtan in the house and they did not protest, we can appreciate them. We can appreciate them for cooperating in the kirtan. We can appreciate them for being a part of it. They might not do per se Krishna conscious activities, come to Mangalarti, make the 16 rounds, but there is transformation happening in the heart. And for that, we should be appreciated. And second thing we have to understand is, they may be devotees or non-devotees, but they are the children of our same father. They are our brothers and sisters. It is the spirit soul of Krishna which is there in the smallest of the small, Anor, Aniyan, Mahato, Mahiyan. They are our brothers and sisters. And if we do not appreciate and we have an inimical feeling, how will our father be happy with us? Because Krishna is not inimical to any living entity. So we should understand that every single soul is actually part and parcel of Krishna, and we should be non-inimical to them. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. You have to become friendly to all living entities. All living entities. So it is very important that we understand this. But if somebody is very particularly harmful to us, causing physical harm, we should keep away. We should find devotees who are expert in that matter to take care of them. And we should develop this quality. And when we develop, we can appreciate them. So you should find out that neutral zone. If it is completely affecting your mental health, you should take help of senior devotees, guru, sadhu, shastra. You should take help how to take care of it. But there are good qualities in every single living entity. Even in a snake, there is a good quality to be on top of Lord Shiva's head. So there is good quality for everyone. So we have to appreciate. Does that answer the question?
Yes, Prabhu. Lot of self analysis is needed. And, you know,
yes.
I was remembering about Yudhishthir Maharaj, because he had the vision of seeing every good in every living entity. So to come to that level, and a lot of self-analysis is needed, as you rightly said.
Yes, and Yudhishthira Maharaj's key to non-enviousness was he was finding out a methodology by which everyone he meets, how can they engage him in Krishna conscious service? Everyone, Bhima, how can he engage? Draupadi, how can he engage? Any citizen he comes across, how can he engage? So when you engage everybody in Krishna's service, everybody becomes friendly to you because they are serving the root of all desires. They are serving the root of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everybody is pleased. And you become a very wonderful, friendly soul, and there can be nobody enemy. Duryodhana on the other side wanted material pleasures. That's why he found enemies everywhere. So this is the secret. Engage everybody, create that Krishna conscious society which Prabhupada is asking for in this verse. Create that non-competitive Krishna conscious society. That is the success. That is level 3 of non-enviousness. And that's what Srila Prabhupada wants.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for allowing me to ask the question.
Thank you for a beautiful question, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, devotees, any of other have any other questions for the Prabhuji, or we can end the call here?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have one question. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Prabhuji, the continuation to the same question what we had just now. So, I mean, you mentioned if there is an issue, I mean, it's more of like, maybe it's a kind of personal, but I just want to hear and go in the right direction. So, our family members, no, I mean, not like our immediate, but as you said, blood relation, right? So, if they are envious and if they are abusing us and elders since many years, and do we have to take it like, is it is our karma and we just have to go through because we are going through that since many years? But that issue comes in a while and it disturbs our mind for a few days or months. And then, I mean, if that impacts our even day-to-day sadhana, at least do we have to let them know like what they are doing for us, or we just have to take it as a karma and just move on? Because we can't get rid of the blood relations and all that. So what is the suggestion approach?
So relatives, parents, we don't choose. Krishna provides us with. So we don't really have a choice. It's based on our karma. We get our parents, we get our relatives. So it is not something that we chose, but it is based on our karma. So if something which is distress, which is coming, we should tolerate. But if it is affecting our sadhana, if it is affecting our mental health, if it is affecting our absolute mental peace, and we are not even able to pick up the chanting bag, we should address it. We should keep Krishna in the center. We should try to talk to them. But if by talking also they are very inimical, we should find out alternative avenues by which we can maintain the relationships, but we can practice our devotional service in a way where they are not being a hindrance. Maybe moving out of the house, out of the relatives is a possibility. And but still maintaining contact with them, calling them for festivals. They may or may not appreciate, that's okay. Giving them prasad. These things should be maintained. They can be inimical towards us. That is their prerogative. But our street should be very clear. Our street should not have any malice or any kind of retaliation that we should do to them. We should be very clear that, okay, this particular soul is little inimical. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were inimical. But what did Prahlad Maharaj do? Prahlad Maharaj's own father was inimical to Krishna. But Prahlad Maharaj's first boon he asked is, please give my father the eternal realm of Vaikuntha. That is non-enviousness. That is the beauty that we have to slowly step in. And then he said, you'd want a boon? He said, no, I would like to give my appreciation to my guru, Narada Muni, who is the reason why I have actually done this. So that should be the gratefulness, gratitude we should always carry in the heart. But practically, if there are problems, we should discuss with Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, local authorities, and we should find out a place where we can do our bhajan very peacefully. Practical steps can be taken. But from the heart, right, we should take. So Raj Prabhu is saying we should do a session on tolerance. So we will all tolerate till that session, and you can tolerate me in that session as well. So
thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dandavat Pranam.
So if no other devotees have any other questions, we can end the call here. Prabhuji, with your permission, thank you once again for such a beautiful, beautiful class. Explaining it so nicely, as you were mentioning, this text is very small text. The Prabhupada have given so detailedly, and you explained us in such a beautiful manner. We all could understand it so very nicely. So we are grateful for that. Let's pay our obeisances. Vansha Kalpa. His grace. Haridas Vyas Prabhuji ki
jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji.